Welcome to What is Going Om for new thought from the edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. Oliver Nino was born and raised in the Philippines by a Catholic family that had some very unusual supernatural gifts. His grandfather could channel the souls of dead relatives. His father channeled energy by using his tongue to communicate its sound frequency. And his mother would have premonitions in forms of dreams that would always come true. And then, around the age of 7, he began to have his own curious encounters. Oliver Nino joins me now to share the extraordinary life events that led him to become a sacred geometry and energy activation expert, a thought leader and celebrity spiritual advisor, who's trained and certified healers from over 60 countries, and who is now on a fervent mission to teach others how to unblock their energy and identify, activate, and master their spiritual gifts. Oliver Nino, welcome.
Sandy, thanks so much for having me here.
So, Oliver, tell us about your upbringing in Manila, the supernatural gifts your parents and grandfather had, and how that impacted you as a child growing up.
Yeah, you know, honestly, it was very interesting childhood looking back. I grew up in a Catholic background, so it's like, you know, you can't have anything to do with psychics and energy and all those different things. But the Filipino culture itself had a lot of, you know, like practices and kind of like superstitious beliefs. It was a clash. It was almost like what we talked about and what was done behind the scenes, because it was part of the culture that no one really talked about. So for me, it was normal. It was normal for me growing up to, if we're buying a new house or, you know, opening a new office, to where my mom would call in what's called an albulario, which is pretty much a guy that comes in, medicine man, that will clear the land and kind of like, you know, ask the spirits, you know, if it's okay and do all these different things. That was completely normal growing up. I didn't think anything of it. So I grew up in a household that had that as an undertone. And energy for me was like, you know, it was like I was scared of seeing ghosts because of all the movies that I saw, right? But there was always that mystical talk growing up, and I would always feel like, you know, I would feel stuff. I would have, you know, I would have this just like just knowing of what's going on. Because sometimes people can see them, some people can know what's going on. I was more of a knower growing up, but yeah, it was never something that I had to pay attention to. It was something that was happening naturally in the background, whether or not I knew what was going on, you know.
So it was quite normal for you to have that in your background, but I imagine it wasn't something that you thought that you would grow up and begin to dive deeper into.
No, I think of it as like a happy accident. Logically, I know it was divinely guided, but I was I didn't take the normal path that most healers do take. Like when you asked me what I wanted to be growing up, I didn't know what I wanted to be. I mean, my parents that wanted me to be a doctor, to be a lawyer, and I turned out to be an entrepreneur. So before, you know, I got into the healing and spirituality, I was very successful, you know, with online businesses, you know, and just entrepreneurship. It's a first love and passion of mine. So that was my, you know, life for the longest time, till, you know, when you got called. And the calling strong, it just gets stronger and stronger. And eventually, like, you know, it led me to a time and place to where I had to choose, you know, do I do, you know, what I can do really, really well, or do I answer a higher calling and do and go all in into my purpose work? And, you know, and that's what I had to do, because, you know, it was very strong and it was aligned in that moment. But yeah, I started off kind of the opposite. It was like, I was already in my mind established, like, you know, got the business, got the freedom, got the abundance, and all of a sudden I get a call and I'm like, oh, all All right. And I try to avoid that call and not answer it for the longest time. But, you know, and you know how it works. It just keeps getting louder and louder if you're meant for, you know, if you're meant for it until, like, you know, here I am, like, choosing it fully, you know.
So tell us about the time, the moment, really, that you got that call. I mean, you were sitting in a vortex up on a mountain in Sedona and things started happening.
Well, I think of it as, you know, God, universe, higher power, whatever the listeners resonate with. For me, there was a dangling carrot. And back then, the dangling carrot was money and abundance. And I remember I tried everything I could to make more in my business back then, right? It's close to 20 years ago. Nothing would work. And a friend of mine was like, you should see this energy healer, right? You know, you might have abundance blocks. So, you know, I trusted her and I wanted to see this energy healer. And it was very new for me because I've never seen an energy healer before. And it was back before, you know, energy healers and shamanisms were hot or a thing. You know, and I walk in, you know, I remember walking in this octagon house. And there's this guy, like, wearing all white mala beads, like, you know, music playing, you know, all this different incense. And I'm like, this is all, I've never seen it. It's all new to me. So I was there sitting probably for the most uncomfortable 30 minutes to an hour that I can remember, because I'm there closing my eyes thinking, like, okay, something magical is going to happen. And then that 1 minute felt like forever. And I'm like, nothing's happening. I can't see anything. I mean, yeah, and you have this guy in front of me waving some crystal wands, making some sounds, like, you know, saying, and I'm like, nothing's happening. The only thing I can hear, Sandy, was this sound of my stomach grumbling because I was so hungry, right? And it was the longest 30 minutes or an hour of my life, and I was so skeptical, and I thought it was a big waste of time. So I was grateful and gracious about it. But afterwards, like, you know, towards the end, he was like, you know what, you had abundance blocks that energetically are stuck in your body that track back to your childhood. I removed them. So in the next, you know, 3 to 5 weeks, you should see a big change and some big flow of abundance. And I thought it was, you know, I thought it was baloney. So I went on with my life. And the next thing you know, true enough, 4 weeks comes in and I didn't do anything different. I was just going on normal day-to-day and business stuff. I made more in a day than I did an entire year. Okay. And that's what opened my eyes to energy and that there's something out there that I don't quite understand, but it works so deeply and so profoundly. And mind you, I made that, but my mind and my emotions, they weren't programmed for success. So within 2 months, I spent all of it because I wasn't used to that much of abundance. So I spent it all, you know, paying for bills, putting, you know, family members on vacations. I just wasn't used to it. So I got rid of it, but it planted a seed of like, wow, energy can move light years, you know, move me light years ahead of everything else. And from there on, it was the dangling carrot at the beginning. It was freedom. And when I got that, it was more, it was purpose. But that was the beginning of my journey of like, wow, there's something out there that I don't know, but if it can get me results that quickly, I want to master it and dive deep. And that's when, you know, as you know, I went to Sedona and had that experience, right. But that was the beginning of it, the inception point.
Well, tell us about that experience, because I mean, you were seeing all kinds of things, yeah. Symbols, sacred geometry.
Oh yeah.
So where do you think that was coming from?
So one, I was ready, and sometimes people don't feel like they're ready, but you don't know the divine timing of when ready really is. But after that experience, I remember going to my friend and like, you know what, this happened. I want more. And she was like, go to Sedona. It's a vortex point. Energy there is very, very potent and it's very strong. So I went in there not knowing anything about vortex points. I hired a tour guide, gave me a tour, sat on top of this vortex, didn't think anything of it. It was, and I was afraid of heights, but for some reason, the fear went away when climbing it. So I'm like, that's kind of odd. And when I was there, I wasn't really expecting anything because I didn't experience anything during my first clearing and healing. It was just my stomach grumbling. So I didn't have high expectations. And then all of a sudden it was like, I felt like, you know, the energy going through my body and it was quite an experience. And a lot of things coming up, a lot of memories, a lot of emotions, a lot of purging. And then when I opened my eyes, I thought I was seeing things because I would start seeing shapes and colors and I would put my hand through it thinking it's like an illusion, but it's still there. And I'm like, what's going on? And I thought it was just I was like, maybe I'm just dehydrated in here in a top of a vortex. I might just be seeing an illusion until it followed me in my car. I could see him in my car. I could see him in the room with lights, with little lights, low lights. I'm like, this is something that, like, something happened in there. I didn't know back then, but looking now, I was activated spiritually to where my third eye was activated to where I could see things that I normally couldn't see before. And that for me brought a whole new level of belief, because there were times where I would meet people who had a gift and I would point things out and they're like, yep, see the exact same thing used, and they would describe it. And I was like, I'm not crazy. Like, they're describing everything that I'm describing to a T, and I'm not even prompting them, right? So for me, for somebody who is super skeptical and very logical and very left brain, there are things that happened like that, but a lot that I couldn't explain, but made me believe even more, because I'm like, what are the odds? And when other people start verifying it around you, that are seeing the same thing, it just adds to that belief, which, you know, I needed a lot at the beginning because I was super skeptical, extremely.
So how did you go from that moment receiving all this information, all these symbols, this download, so to speak, mm-hmm. to becoming what you are now, which is, you know, an expert in sacred geometry, a teacher, a healer, a teacher of millions, I think you've got on your online course. Yeah. How did you make that transition?
It wasn't easy. It was a long time, and I wanted to shove it to the side. So when I got all that information, my friend told me, you're a healer. So I started, like, you know, in my sleep and in my waking moments, getting these things, this prompts of what to do. And I would do it on myself and I would see a difference. And then I got this nudge, try it for other people. So I tried it out, close friends, family members, and they would get such amazing results from their lives. So for 10 years, I was what I call a closet energy healer. On the outside, I'm the businessman, like making deals, like, you know, launching businesses, managing businesses. On the side, for purpose work, I wasn't charging for it. I was donating my time for people who knew. I was doing energy clearings and healings for people because, one, I was fascinated by it, but it also helped me in some weird way. By me doing the work and helping other people, it helped me really just like give back, and that put me in a vibration to where things were amazing, right? So I did probably 10,000 plus sessions for other people during that period of time, and nobody knew what I was just doing it through word of mouth, right? So I did that for a bit until I got called to do it on a higher level of, like, you know, you should do this for more people, you should do this for the world. And of course I fought that for a bit, but when my wife now was pregnant with her son, you know, I thought to myself, you know what, this is a brand new soul coming to the earth, and I'm the prime role model and example. And I worked with so many people at that time that I knew a lot of things happened during childhood and that affected them till later on in life. So I wanted to be the best example, and I wanted to shine in my full light, you know, and be that example from birth. So that kind of motivated me to be like, you know what, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'm going to jump into this fully, because I've been doing this anyway, but I'm going to just go all in on this. I'm going to walk away from everything that I know, from the business, from all those things that were making good, you know, bringing in good abundance, but it wasn't fulfilling to my soul and my being. I'm going to leave that, which is the scariest thing I've ever had to do. If you had it made with certainty and abundance, and you're leaving that for purpose work with this uncertain realm, it was scary. But at that point, I've been living my life through, you know, divine synchronicity and faith, to where I knew, even if I couldn't see the steps, I'll be fine. I'm guided. It will work out. And here I am.
Did you have to do training and research into especially the sacred geometry part, or was that information that was channeled, guided?
A lot of it was channeled. I would say 95% of it was channeled. I mean, what I've learned initially was the grounding and crystals and all this just basic lingo of the field, but everything else came to me, and it was a process, because it would come to me. I didn't know what it was, but I had friends and people around me who could see things, and they would verify what I was seeing. So I had a lot of feedback, fortunately, from people around me that could see energy when I couldn't, or could verify what I was doing because they would feel it or they can see the energy moving. So a lot of it was that, is it would come to me, I'd be skeptical, I'd try it on myself, it would work, I would miss something, like, and it would come to me in dream, it would work again, and then I would verify it with outside people, then I would do healings and people would get better. But a lot of it was that manner, and I actually preferred it in a way, because I wanted to get it direct from source. I wanted to get the knowledge directly and not it be changed. I wanted to, you know, I wanted a direct connection. So for me, that was my intention. So a lot of the stuff that that I teach, people come to me and they're like, I can't even Google it, because, like, you know, it's not out there. It's and I wanted to make sure to keep it potent and keep it intact. So yeah, a lot of it is purely channeled.
So what are you actually teaching people? Are you teaching them how to use sacred geometry, how to move energy, how to heal?
It depends. Some people come to me and they just want to work on themselves, or they have got a block in their relationships, or in their physical body, or their kids are sick and they want to help their kids or their loved ones, or they feel this burning desire to serve the world and they want to learn the methodology. So I teach them a system on how to really, when I'm teaching them first, I'm doing an activation unblocking on them. I'm removing whatever blocks are for the highest good. And it can be blocks from their environment. It can be blocks from that's caused by trauma. It can be blocks that are caused in childhood or gestational or when they were in the womb. It can be generational blocks passed on or karmic. So I look to see where the blocks are, and depending on how deep those blocks are, they can be just in your mind, in your heart, or down to your cellular level, down to your organs and body, and it affects you physically. So it depends on the root kind of changes depending on the person. But part one is removing the biggest blocks that are holding them back, because for me, the way I look at it is like, when you've got these big blocks, you're like driving with a emergency brake on. Like, you know, you think you're going fast, but you don't really know how fast you can go because you've got this block weighing you down. So after I work on the blocks, the next big thing that I do is activate their spiritual gifts, because the spiritual gifts were given to us. We were born with them. We have them, and they were given to us so we can navigate life. And it's everything that we need to succeed, to thrive, to have abundance, to have happiness. But for some reason, life happens, or we're afraid of it, or programming, and we turn it off, or we tune it down, or they're dormant. But in my experience, if that's on, that's like oxygen for your soul, for your being. Like you get so much benefits from using that. Like you're guided, and you know exactly where to go, and it skips a lot of steps. You know what to do to avoid unnecessary suffering because you're listening to your intuition. You're recharged. You're protected. So for me, it's a twofold thing: removing the blocks and activating spiritual gifts that are dormant, or just elevating them so that people can tap into their inner resource and move through life. And from then, you know, they have a choice. They can do it on themselves or the family members. And a lot of times people come to me and they just want to learn how to do it for themselves. They don't really come to me to learn how to heal as a profession. And I have people who do. They're like, I'm a chiropractor. I'm a doctor. I'm like, you know, I'm a psychologist, psychiatrist. I am a body, you know, expert, like, you know, masseuses, like coaches. They come to me and they either want to integrate this modality for their clientele, or some people from scratch, they just want to be healers and they want to learn a modality so they can launch themselves out there, and they learn this too. But they kind of like self-select, but a good majority of them come so they can learn the skills for themselves or for loved ones.
So are you seeing the blocks? Are you sensing the blocks, or are you kind of feeling the blocks?
Great question. Because people really think the only way is to see them. But I look at them as people are wired differently. I have clients that see the blocks and they see it in detail. And when they describe it to you, it's like a movie and you're like, wow. For me, not quite. I can run my hands. If they're in front of me, I can run my hands. What about a foot or two from their energetic body? Or if they're remotely, I can do it as well. And I feel the blocks. Mm. I'm a feeler. I feel it. And when I feel it, information comes to me and I know. So I'm a feeler knower. Some people, they just know, like, you know, some people, they do that and they see stuff, right? So there's different combinations of how people process energy and information. But yeah, I've never been able to see. I'm a feeler. I mean, I get messages through dream form, right? Or ideas that come download throughout the day. But my wife, she's a complete seer. She sees the energy. She sees the energy entities, everything in between. And we, it's funny because we would compare notes. I mean, I would feel stuff and I'd be like, okay, I feel this, this, this over there. And she'd be like, I saw that and this, and it would match. But I would interpret that information through feeling, pretty much.
Yeah. You've worked with a lot of Hollywood stars, haven't you? Gwyneth Paltrow, Demi Moore, many others. Is that a word of mouth thing that brought them to you?
Yeah, it is typically like, you know, somebody who's been following me for a while, who I've helped, who I might not even know. Because sometimes, like, and I don't check a lot of the messages that I get because there's a lot of them. Because sometimes people have been waiting, you know, for 6 months and they're just there because I just, my team doesn't know. We don't really, like, you know, I mean, it's hard to know who every single one is. But we would typically have somebody whose lives would change. And they would refer us to, people that work in the entertainment industry, and then we'd work with them and stuff. But typically, it is word of mouth. Some have found me through just like content, you know, in Instagram, where they see my video and they resonate with it. But for the majority, it is a lot of word of mouth. It's someone's lives got rocked, and they want to share it with someone near and dear to them, and they do that. And which is the same with. A lot of our clients is that a lot of it is word of mouth. They get a change in their lives. Next thing you know, they're bringing their sister, they're bringing their mom, they're bringing their dad, they're bringing, like, we've had it to where entire family systems could come in and their lives, because the people around them, they notice the change and they're like, how are you so happy? What's the secret? How are you? Why are you so lucky nowadays? How did you find this and that? And how do you have this glow about you? And it's always through embodiment. They notice it, they ask, and they're like, I did this. And that's been the normal progression typically for, like, you know, people that have come into our ecosystem.
So you founded and created the Geo Love Healing methodology, and you've got almost 2 million students online. Tell me about the methodology. How did you develop it, and what does it consist of?
Yes. So a lot of it is, it came through my experience of getting activated, those 10,000 sessions in the first 10 years. Right. And then the next close to 10 years after that, I was refining it. But a lot of it is first, like, you know, it was a system of first being able to remove energetic block or identify energetic blocks in the body, remove them as frequent as needed, and go as deep as you can. Right. Because typically, if somebody is, like, you know, let's say somebody's having a hard time attracting love, or if they do, they attract, you know, toxic or narcissistic kind of love. That can be a block in the heart, right? And that could be a block in the heart. That could be as simple as, like, you know, they were a kid in the playground and they were bullied at 7 and their hearts closed off. And when their hearts closed off, they started thinking, world's not safe. I'm unlovable. I should be invisible, right? So now you've got the thought mixed with the emotions and the trauma of the event, and creates this frequency to where if you don't address it, that frequency starts, like, attracting more people and problems to it, and becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, because you get that and reinforces this. Next thing you know, you got this big block and you're thinking that's all life is, not seeing that it happened and we fed the energy somehow and it keeps going, but it can be changed at any given moment. People don't know that. And when that's changed, next thing you know, they find people that come to them that are loving, that are respectful of their time and honor them, and they have fun, and it works. So for me, I help people really know how to do that for themselves, know where the biggest blocks is, and release it, you know, at a deeper level. And at the same time, have the tools to deal with life. If somebody's sensitive in going out in crowded areas or in the mall, teaching them how to shield themselves at the beginning and then protect themselves, and getting to a place to where they raise their vibration enough to where they don't need to shield themselves. Their vibration becomes their protection and they're good, right? So a lot of it is, I would say the system is mastering energy, which is the invisible thing that affects everything. So complete mastery of that, of energy, how to protect themselves, how to raise their vibrations, how to remove the blocks, you know, how to do it for others, how to make an impact on your surroundings and everybody around you, and live life empowered.
So when people are on your course and they are having these experiences, mm-hmm. And they're learning how to sense the energy, how to remove the blocks, etc., is that the activation process, or does the activation come afterwards? And how is the activation? I mean, you're known as the energy, yeah. spiritual activator, energy activator. How are you activating people?
So just two parts. So when I was doing healings, when I was still doing one-on-one healings a long time ago, it was a one and done. I never had to meet them. Typically, I do one healing and that's all it took, because the way I work is I go to the root, right? I don't go to the branches and the fruit. I go to the one thing that if I work on this, it affects the 100 other things and yeah. it's good. Yeah. So that's my approach. So I never really needed to do 2, 3, 4, 5 sessions. If they're different topics and different areas, sure. And some things were like layers of the onions. For those that took yeah. divine time, I would do some, but my methodology has never been, I'm working with somebody for an entire year, every single week. Like, and they have the same life. It's like 90% was one and done. Meet them, do it, and it's done. They would get what they need and they're happy. And so for me, it's two parts. It is removing the blocks and it is activating your gifts. So once I remove the blocks, I can activate their gifts. And for me, the way I do it is it's a lot of sacred geometry that I use because sacred geometry, if you look at it, our bodies, right, respond really well to sacred geometry because it's outside of us, like the pyramids, you know, the spirals in nature. And if people were to Google sacred geometry in nature, they would see how there's so many different things out there that's this divine creation and patterns, right? Yeah. But if you look into our bodies, our cells, our spheres, our DNA are two pyramids back to back. I mean, we respond really, really well to sacred geometry because we are made of sacred geometry, right? Spirals, like in our body. And they've done a lot of research on, you know, for example, pyramid technology, right? Yeah. They would like, you know, a lot of people put fruits and vegetables under pyramids and they would stay fresher longer. I mean, there was this burn ward in Canada that put pyramids under people who had, you know, third degree burns and they would heal faster. I mean, there's all these amazing studies on sacred geometry. So the way I look at it is if you really understand sacred geometry, it can amplify energy. You can use it to access higher different forms of energy. You can use that as a transport mechanism to bring higher energy deeper to the DNA level because we are sacred geometry inside. And I just understand all of that. How do you access it from high? How do you ground it down to the cellular level? How do you make it to where you have this dormant, activity in our DNAs? And how do you activate the dormant potential? And that's the kind of the world that I play in. And I do it for others. And eventually, you know, if they're interested, I teach them how to do that as well. But the first part is teaching them, you know, the basics, which is where are your blocks? And how do you clear them, right? Mm. And the next thing is once they do that, and they can graduate to learning. All right, how do you further activate your spiritual gifts and do it for others? But there's a progression to it.
I've definitely played with the the pyramids. I had somebody construct one, perfectly on scale, and put a razor blade in it just to see whether it would stay sharp, and it did. I've also worked with sacred geometry teachers, and a lot of the sacred geometry work that I've done, and I'd be interested to know if yours is the same, is using visualization and, you know, creating the shapes in your mind and moving them through your body. Do you do that?
I do, but it's different for everybody. I'm more of a visual person, but the thing is with sacred geometry, the way I look at it is we backwards engineer sometimes what people do very naturally. Like my wife, she doesn't do any sacred geometry work at all. But when she's channeling and she's in her element and people around her who could see things will see sacred geometry, because sacred geometry exists in different vibrations. So at the beginning,
so you're talking about the frequencies.
The frequency, when you're in a certain frequency,
like,
you know, if somebody's channeling, there's sacred, there's certain sacred geometry that's already occurring because of that gift they have. So in my experience, certain gifts have certain sacred geometries that are present when those gifts are in play. So when a psychic is doing their thing, there's certain sacred geometries in play, and certain areas where that information comes through. So to answer your question, I started off by visualizing it. But the thing with sacred geometry is it has a life of its own, and it's three-dimensional, right? So our logical mind can picture, like, you know, a yantra or a Merkaba, right? But that's three-dimensional. And once that clicks into place, it moves and has a life of its own that we may not be able to see. But yeah, but you might have somebody out there, you know, next to you who could see things, and they're like, what is going on, right? So for me, I did that at the beginning. Then it started working with just intention, because once you get familiar with the energy of it, you can call it with intention. And there have been times to where it comes as needed before I can even set the intention. It has this consciousness of its own to where the energy work happens not by your logical mind. I mean, it's great that we have our logical mind on board trying to build stuff, but things happen energetically, intention-wise, and once you get good and doing it frequently, it comes because it has a consciousness of its own. It comes before you even know you need it. It's there. And and you're like, oh, wow, I'm feeling it, and I didn't even have to build it, right? So there, again, I feel there is a progression to that, but I started off with building them in my mind, for sure. Mm. And then setting the intention that they would build perfectly in the exact proportions that they need to, because I don't want to have to measure it, you know, to the T. I just ask that it be done to the sacred proportions.
Mm. Yeah, you do. You provide a lot of videos and tips and tools and little techniques for people. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, would you give us some information, some tips and a few tools that people can work with?
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Thank you. Thank you. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and my guest today is sacred geometry and energy activation expert, thought leader and celebrity spiritual advisor, Oliver Nino. We'll be back with more from Oliver after the break.
Om Times TV. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Om Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Om Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Om Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Om Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Om Times. Open yourself to the possibilities.
If I could be you, and you could be me for just 1 hour, if we could find a way to get inside each other's minds.
Walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile in my shoes. Well, before you abuse, criticize, and accuse, walk a mile in my shoes.
So, in 2016, you launched the Geo Love Healing Program. Before we look at some tools and techniques and tips that you can offer us, tell us what this program is all about.
So this one is an 8-week certification program, and it's for people who want to become their own healers. So it's very in-depth, and they learned an entire methodology on how to do it themselves. And I also do a a healing and activation on them as well. So yeah, I don't do one-on-ones, but I do it for this program itself. So it's a certification. They go deep and they get practice hours and they get to do healings on others and feedback and all that stuff. And towards the end, they get a certification.
Is this an online course?
It's online, but it's also something that people can do in person. So it's right. So we have a completely virtual one where you do it online for 8 weeks. Like, you know, they get training every single week, homework and practice. And for some, they do that. And then in the middle of the program, we have a typically 4-day event that we do live. And if people can't do it live, they do it remotely. And then and that's when they get to experience the activation, the clearing. I do it on them. And then they learn the system on how to do the healings on others, whether someone's in front of them so people are in front of them, and then people are somewhere else, they're remote, and they get to do it, and they get to exchange notes, and 30 or 40% of course of the people in the room that come in there, they don't think they're healers. They're very skeptical. They're like, I don't know if I'm a healer. Like, and they're skeptical, and they're hearing all this feedback and results, and it blows their mind away, because they're like, is that really me? And it's such a great experience watching people just step into their power, things that they knew how to do naturally, they were born with. And they just, you know, it just changes everything for them, because every single time somebody, you know, goes through that entire program, almost like within 30 days or 90 days, like we'd either get messages from their family members who find us online to thank us, because they're noticing a change in their husband and their wife or their sister or their daughter. And it's such a profound for us thing that we get to, you know, we get a bask in. It's like, wow, it's a ripple effect, you know? So we get a lot of those thank yous of like, wow, I don't know what happened, but thank you so much, because we see a change.
Do you think everybody can be a healer?
Great question. I feel like we all have it within us. But it's a matter of, are we willing to tap in and do the work to step into that? Because healing comes. So if you have the gift, okay, any gift, whether it's you're a healer, a channeler, psychic, you know, transmuter, Akashic records, there's lots of gifts. But I look at gifts as frequency based. So, and that's the checks and balances, and that's amazing, to where depending on your frequency, you can access a certain version of your gift, right? To where, let's say somebody's a transmuter. They walk through the world and they can feel somebody's energy and not know what they're doing. And they can kind of like cleanse somebody's energy unconsciously. And that person walks away feeling lighter. And that person, as a transmuter, depending on what their frequency is, if it's a little bit lower, then they might get tired and they might feel all the pain and trauma that person is feeling, because they're transmuting it through their system. But if their frequency was higher, they wouldn't feel a thing. It would happen fast. It wouldn't feel a thing, and it would be normal, right? So the same thing is, like, I feel like the more you progress with your frequency, same thing with psychics. If your frequency is low and you're in a fear-based, shame-based frequency, then you are tapped into everything psychically that's on that frequency. And it's not fun. Yeah. It's a nightmare almost, right? But when you go higher, you get the flip side of that. So the way I look at it is like, yeah, I mean, everyone I met personally have either had gifts that are overactive, dormant, or happening on autopilot and they don't know it's happening.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And dormant ones are the hard ones at times, because they've got to choose it. They've got to be open to it. You can bring a horse to water, but there's all you can do. And it's, for me, that's been a tough one in the past. Cause I want to save everybody. I want to help everybody. I want to elevate everybody. And realizing sometimes even the hardest ones are the ones who are closest to you. Sometimes you can't. All you got to do is embody the best version of you and hope. And it does happen a lot. that since they're connected to you, by you working on you, it affects them as well.
Yes. Yeah. We hear a lot right now about empaths and highly sensitive people. And, you know, I think personally, everyone is an empath, except that they don't realize they are, or they maybe, you know, feel too much. And so they suppress it. They dumb it down. But you have some tips that you offer to people to protect their energy because, you know, for an empath, as you said, you know, for maybe a transmuter, it's one thing. For an empath who's picking up everybody's energy and feelings and fears, it must be really hard.
It is because people are, I used to call it sensitive to energy, but the thing is with empath is there's always different versions of gifts. I've seen empaths who really are healers, right? Who really are transmuters. But the first part of them be awakening, it's the way I look at this is, have you seen those videos online where you see this baby who couldn't see or couldn't hear? And they showed a video of the first time they put glasses or hearing aids. And next thing you know, they're like, wow, right? So the way I see it, there are times to where when somebody wakes up to their energetic, you know, ability, and sometimes we can never predict when our third eye opens. And third eye doesn't mean you're seeing ghosts. Third eye can just mean that for some reason now that's open to where you're sensing everybody's energy and it's overwhelming, right? Because the thing is with empaths, there's a point of overwhelm. What was that? I mean, I could be, and it can happen when you're in a crowded area, when you're in your house, you feel great, go in a crowded area, you're like, what's going on? You're overwhelmed, you are thrown off your zen. Right. And I thought it was just being out there. I could have somebody think of me. And this is how it happened. It's like I would be going on my day, and like this is over 10 years ago. I would go on my day, and all of a sudden I would have this anxiety about something, about health, about bills, or something like that. I'm like, this is not mine. There's nothing in my environment that points that I should have this, but I'm feeling it. And I trained myself to ask, okay, whose is this? Is this even mine? It's like, no. And I'm like thinking, who is this? Who is this? 5 minutes later, I get a call from my mom and she's worried about health or something. Or she was typing an email or a text. So that happens once, you're like, okay, it's kind of odd. I felt their emotion, their frequency before it even happened. But then guess what? If it keeps on happening over and over again, next thing you know, it's probably happened thousands of times to where it becomes undeniable.
Yeah.
Makes sense. You feel something and then it happens afterwards. There's lag time. You feel energetically, but then it happens. Then you start thinking like, wow, there's something happening here, invisible. I don't have to be in a crowded location with in a concert or a mall or an airport to feel overwhelmed. It can happen remotely as well, right? So first of all, knowing that energy can travel that way was huge, right? And then the second part is like, yes, there are protection and there are different ways you can do it. I mean, you can, like, I used to be really, really into crystals. I still am in a way, to where I would wear, anything black. So either a smoky quartz, dark crystal, or a black tourmaline. And I would always make sure that I had citrine next to it because citrine carries the energy of the sun. And it's one of the few crystals that you don't have to cleanse it. It's self-clearing. So anything that touches it, right, it can clear that crystal as well. So there was a time where, yeah, I would be wearing that so that instead of me being affected by that person, it will go to this crystal first. But then, yeah, there gets to a point, if it's an intense situation, the crystal gets overwhelmed and it overflows to you. Now you're going to have to feel it, but it's a buffer, right? So I learned that. And then I learned how to do shields. Shields work, right? Like you put shields around you. And I had this one gal that came to one of my workshops. And I remember when she came to one of my workshops, I remember her so well from several years ago because for 15 years, she hasn't been able to do a grocery store run by herself. She would go in the grocery store, go down the first aisle, stop midway through, get so overwhelmed, you know, with everybody's energy, and she would go home and a friend would have to finish her grocery for her, right? And that was her life for 15 years. And then went to one of my workshops and I taught how to do shields, right? And she learned that, and then I heard back from her 30 days later, and she's like, Oliver, I did my first grocery store run in 15 years and I felt nothing. Calm. And for some, it's bringing their power back to where they do shields, right? And then it protects them. But ultimately, nowadays, like the way I look at it, I work more on my vibration because it's a longer term solution. So the way I look at it is, if somebody is running or on a bike and somebody really wanted to hurt them, somebody can throw a rock or a ball and it would hit that person because they're in that field and they're reachable with a throw. So it will affect that person. They're the same wavelength. But if that same person went on a plane and the plane took off, it will reach a certain altitude to where that person on the ground can still see the plane. And it will reach a certain altitude to where it doesn't matter if that person on the ground is the strongest person and threw that really, really hard. It doesn't matter. It will reach a certain height to where that rock or ball can't touch the plane. And the person on the plane won't even know that something was attempting, right? But then there's another one where you go even higher to where the plane isn't even visible to the naked eye. You can't see it. So the person below won't even attempt because they can't even see the plane, and the person above won't even know that exists, right? And that's kind of like how I like to address protection. Ultimately, long-term is as you raise your vibration, you don't need protection because things don't bother you.
It's not a match anymore, yeah.
So that's kind of like my end goal that I've worked on and I've taught people. But at the beginning, yeah, it is the protection. It is once you absorb that energy, learning how to clear that. And so you can function throughout the day and you're not always overwhelmed and operating from a state of just like survival and panic all the time. So yeah, it's super important.
Lots of people are seeking to learn meditation. We all know the benefits of meditation. It's been documented widely enough. But you say that we need to understand why meditation may not be for us. Tell me something about that.
Yeah. So I'm a big believer that there's no one size fits all. We're all very unique individuals. Even when you look at twins, they have different, even if you look the same, they have different sets of fingerprints and the DNA. It's like, we're all unique, spiritually, physically, and like and everything in between. So the way I look at it is you have to ask yourself, why do you want to meditate? What's the end goal? For some, they want to meditate because what? They want to relax. Stress relief. Like, you know, they've experienced so much throughout the day, they just want a moment of peace and calm. For some, they want to meditate to release excess energy. For some, they want to meditate because they want to access altered states of, like, you know, consciousness, higher consciousness. You're right?
Yeah.
So If you know your end goal, and for some, they want to get information. They want to be able to, like, you know, get messages and get downloads. So once you know your goal, it's very simple and easy to figure out, like, you know, that's what you want. And realizing that we live in a universe to where there's more than one way to get to the goal. For some, dancing is their meditation because as they dance, they release their energy. Their minds can relax, right? For some, it's working out. For some, it's, you know, they are in nature, they're gardening. And as they're gardening, all the stress go away, the thoughts go away, they're just very, very present. Energy can come through. For some, it's when they're in the soul path, it's meditation. For some, when they're with their kids and their loved ones, they just, peace comes over. So for me, I never could sit still for 10, 20, 30 minutes and, like, you know, be the type to have zero thoughts for 2 hours and stay still. For some, it works, and I'm glad that it does because they found something that works for them. But it never worked for me. I am more of a, you know, I love being in a salt bath. I love walking out in nature. I love moving my body. And when I do things, I get the same outcomes that I want from meditation anyway. So for me, it's just like expanding how meditation looks like for you and seeing that meditation is a means to an end. What's that outcome that you want? What are other ways that fit for you that work? Because if you have something that already naturally works for you that gets you there, then it accomplishes the same thing, right? So a lot of it is just like rules when it comes to how to achieve a certain outcome is the way I look at it.
Yeah. You've talked about frequency quite a bit. And what do you do when you want to raise your frequency? You know, how do you do it? You know, do you have little things that you, you know, put on some music or?
It depends on the day. The more intense the day, some of the things that affect me are like, you know, family, anything to do with family, anything to do with, you know, family health, or if I'm serving somebody and, you know, and they're in pain and we're trying to help them. So there are things, certain things that affect me. So the more that it tends to affect my human self, the more practice I will do that day. So it will depend on whether it's a 5 minute, a 1 hour, a half day, or even a whole day, I'm just going to do self-care and disconnect. Mm-hmm. So the demand, the external demand will dictate what I have to do. I'll give you an example. So if I'm serving on stage and I'm teaching, my frequency is so high, like nothing can bother me. And nothing typically shows up. And when they do, it's very easy and quick to really, I can deal with 30 of those and not flinch, right? Because I'm in a high vibration to where I am fueled by more than just my human battery. I've got my divinity soul, you know, fueling through me to where I feel like I'm limitless. And a lot of times I am tapped into a higher source, right? But let's say my wife's teaching and we have, you know, because we have a retreat center and people come in here. Let's say she's teaching in the retreat center and there are people there that are coming and they're purging and they're working through the most difficult, the hardest, the toughest times of their lives, that trauma, they're working through that. And let's say I'm there, or I'm even here, I don't have to be there. I can be right here while they're there purging, and I'm not, and my vibration is just working on humanistic stuff, right? The business, like, you know, things around the house, nothing really, you know, of purpose work. I'm in a vibration to where whatever they're purging hits me. So I can be tired, I can feel body pain, I can feel everything that an empath would feel on that frequency. I'd feel it all. So what do I do? And when it becomes debilitating like that, then I go all in. Then I might light a Palo Santo and say, I might go through my energetic body and remove the blocks. I might go, you know, take a salt bath. I might do the things that I love, like, you know, play board games with my son and do love and connection. And then for me, serving is always a go-to. And I might go there and teach on stage. And when I do, everything disappears. Because when I teach, like, you know, it's selfless service, higher energy comes through. I'm serving automatically. I'm not in the same vibration that I was where I was feeling everything, right? So I have a list, and those are the typical ones that work all the time. And it's nothing fancy, nothing like, you know, once you figure out what works for you, just do them, do more of them, do longer, and grant yourself the grace to have that recharge, self-care, cleansing time. And it's good. So for me, it's pretty simple. I mean, I just do that. And it depends on how, you know, or solitude, like, you know, it might go out, walk outside and just be with myself for a bit. But it's typically nothing fancy. It's just things that work and work really, really well.
We are almost out of time now, I'm afraid. Just very quickly before we go, what is your ultimate goal?
So my ultimate goal, my wife and I have the same ultimate goal, is to raise the consciousness and the frequency of the entire planet to love and pure potential. Because I feel like if people knew their gifts, if they accepted it, if they knew how to release their blocked energy and they can do it for themselves, it would affect people around them, then we'd live in a such different place, right? To where I look at it as people that come to us, like, you know,
I don't think we've got any more time, I'm afraid, Oliver. Yeah. But I do think that is a very worthwhile goal to have. So thank you for joining us today. If you want to know more about Oliver Nino's work, you can visit thespiritualactivator.com. He has courses there and lots of free videos to watch. That's it for this week. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. I'll be back at the same time next week with another edition of What Is Going On. Till then, it's goodbye from me. Thank you, Oliver.
Thank you, Sandy.